Well, good on the Tampa Bay Lightning. This group remains really good at negotiating contracts. Why is this team so darn good at getting their players to really nice numbers? I'm not surprised because it's now something we're aware of, but bridge deal's done. Braden Point, $6.75 million, 3 years. But it's just another underlining of how good this organization is in managing their cap, how good they are at negotiating contracts. We've talked about it with Kucherov. You've used the example of basically staring down Steven Stamkos and saying,
$8.5 million.
Take this.
Take it or leave it.
Otherwise, we'll go in a different direction. This is, and what really jumps off the page to me is that this is not the same general manager either. This is Steve Yzerman and now Julien Brisebois that have been able to manage the cap the way that they have. Like, there's a really impressive lesson on how to manage your cap, and the Lightning just keep on getting it done.
Yeah, who knows if it's a lesson or not. Maybe it's just one of these outliers. We hear Elliot talk about, well, that's just Tampa. You can't compare to Tampa. But to your point, they're how do they get it done? Well, I think there's three things. First off, where would you rather play hockey in the NHL? There does not seem to be a negative word to be spoken about the ownership, the building, the community, the weather, and the group of guys. On top of that, who's better lined up to win championships? So can you sell someone to buy into a team concept when you're close to a championship? Yes. When you're, you know, at the bottom of the standings, probably tougher to take that team first, right? And then thirdly, there's no state tax. But again, there's no state tax in a lot of places in the NHL. Not a lot, but a few. They don't seem to get deals. In the same state that still doesn't have tax, the Florida Panthers don't get deals like Tampa Bay gets
deals.
That's
what Travis Yost put on Twitter today. He's like, you know, this isn't just because they've got a nice... The Florida Panthers have the same tax situation, and look what they just overpaid to bring in Bobrovsky.
Yeah, like Bobrovsky wasn't going to get like 12 or 13 and then said, well, you know what? It's a nice tax situation. I'll do 10. That's an overpay.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like market. It wasn't a deal at all. And good for Bob because he gets to save even more of that money. And, you know, people don't love us talking about tax climates and all that. Here's the difference. On the exact same deal, Braden Point gets taxed about 7% more in Calgary. It's not huge, but it ain't nothing, especially when you're talking about over $20 million. So,
by the way,
that would be what, like $1.4 million over the course of the whole deal?
Yeah, which is significant.
Yeah.
The states with no state tax that have NHL teams, Florida, Nevada,
Arizona,
Tennessee, Texas, and soon to be Washington.
Oh, no Arizona.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I did not realize Washington had no state tax.
That's 9 states with no income tax.
Okay.
The other one's Alaska, no NHL team.
Not yet.
New Hampshire.
Still not.
South Dakota.
Mm.
Wyoming.
Sure. Now, there's also, like, we're only going one layer into the whole taxation thing. There's, like, performance taxes. If you come in and you're an artist and you have a big show, that's a whole other layer. And that actually taxes visiting players. So you might pass through New York City and get taxed for a one-night performance as a hockey player. So there's many layers here, but to simplify it as much as we can, essentially Braden Point's going to keep an extra $1.5 million versus if he'd signed the same deal in Alberta. And if you want to look at, you know, maybe closer to $3 million, go look at Ontario or California, which is actually much more unfriendly tax-wise than even Alberta. Which, you know, might surprise some Canadians to think that you'd get taxed more as a professional athlete in California than here, but it's true. Either way, it's only one part of the formula. And I don't know that we could also say, like, look at Tampa holding strong. It sounds like they moved $1 million from last week.
Yep.
Per year.
To make sure that this guy was signed.
And so this wasn't exactly Yzerman with the standoff at the OK Corral with Stamkos, where it's 8.5, take it or leave it. And he stayed on that number for months.
And again, that was different. Back. That was an unrestricted situation. This is a restricted situation.
But point being, this was not the you come to our number or you are gone sort of thing. Now, obviously, different circumstances you alluded to, but they moved to get this done. Question is, would Matthew Tkachuk move if this is on the table? Is this on the table? Would the Flames not put this on the table?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we don't have the answers to, but again, it's the exact number I threw out for Tkachuk on Twitter 2-3 weeks ago when we were at Winsport. 20.25 over 3 is 6.75. There's your internal cap.
9.5
load it to the back
year.
End. Make it a friendly QO if there's trouble in the relationship. He can bolt, and if things are good, you've got over a year before that QO comes into place to negotiate, or about a year, 11 and a half months. So it's done. It's a really good comparable if you're Brad Treliving. We'll see if the Tkachuk camp says, nah, we don't really like this. Just like you're not going to use Marner as a comparable, we're just not going to use this.
Yep.
So who knows?
Look at what, and before we move on to the impact on the other RFAs, look at what, I mean, Tampa's got, still they've got a lot of cap things that they got to figure out. We're not expecting the cap to take a big jump from this season to next season.
Or even the year after, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it might even stay flat. So they've got $6 million coming onto their cap next season when Andrei Vasilevskiy goes from 3.5 to 9.5.
Extension,
so
yeah.
They're going to have to deal with that. They are still going to have to move out a player or two here in the next little while, whether it's Tyler Johnson or Andre Palat or someone like that. They will have to move out a deal or two to make sure they can take on the Vasilevskiy deal.
Killorn.
Killorn's another guy
that could probably survive the loss of quite easily.
And this is a team that has done a very good job of restocking their cupboards. I mean, Anthony Cirelli's coming. He's 22 years old. Over the next 3 years,
they're
going
to pick Sergachev next summer, too, by the way.
Yep. Over the next 3 years,
and Chernek,
they've got time to figure out exactly how they want to clear cap space to make sure that they can sign point again.
And keep in
similar
mind,
to the Kucherov situation a number of years
that
ago.
That spring of 2021 will be the expansion draft. That was a tool that allowed them to get out from under the Jason Garrison deal when the Vegas expansion team came in. So don't put it past Tampa to go down the same road and say, okay, this is an opportunity where, we're, you know, of course Seattle's looking to pry a player, but maybe we bribe them to take a cumbersome contract off our hands. So what happened with Tampa back in the day in the Vegas expansion, they made a deal that sent Nikita Gusev's rights, who of course now is a New Jersey Devil, signed, had his zero games with the Vegas Golden Knights, but a very highly touted asset outside the NHL. Best player in the KHL the last 2-3 years. That was part of the bribery. I think there may have been a pick involved as well. And Jason Garrison, who was making, I think, six a year and was essentially a replacement-level defender and ended up spending time with Chicago Wolves, hardly played for the Vegas Golden Knights. That was a favor that got done. And that's another example of Tampa saying, okay, like, rather than view this as, okay, we're going to get poached, let's sweeten the pot and get them to help us with a favor. And that allowed them to get some other work done. It's they've kept their core parts. They've overpaid on some guys here or there. They make mistakes just like every GM and teams do, but they've cleaned up their mistakes too, right?
Yeah, there's been a couple
of... was that their signing
Carl's
or Philly's?
Bought out, and I don't know if that was them or Philly who signed him, but he got bought out. Philpula was a bad one, but they were able to get out from under that trading.
Garrison
Philly,
was awful. Yeah, and this is a good team. This is clearly what I would rank as the top management group in the NHL.
We are... By the way, underway on Pinder and Steinberg. We are live in our Basement Systems downtown studio. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a lovely weekend. So three-year bridge, and it does set an interesting market for other potential bridge deals. And we can apply it to strictly Tkachuk or even start looking at Rantanen, looking at Laine, and looking at Connor, the other three players that have yet to sign.
Four guys left out of this super class. Are we halfway done?
Maybe none of them do miss time in the regular season.
Marner's done, Point's done, Besser's done.
Now, Laine and Rantanen are still chilling in Switzerland, so they're a long ways away. Tkachuk's in Toronto, and I have no idea where Kyle Connor is. So I haven't really checked into his actual physical location. But of all the guys left, and still including Point, he was the only center. So that's the other thing that's not taken into account is that one's a center, the rest are wingers, and there is more importance placed on a center iceman, and as there should be. So I'm curious, like, I'm not asking whether or not this will happen or not, but should any of those guys still remaining make more on a 3-year deal than Point? Not will they, but should they?
Yeah, and again, situation to situation is not going to be the same, and leverage is different in all markets. Look what the Marner camp got to do to Toronto with their cap situation and the inability to accrue cap space from the season start. Like, that was a factor there. I would suggest the only guy that could make a case would be Rantanen, and I'm not necessarily convinced that he absolutely does, but it's certainly a conversation point.
His numbers are bonkers, what he's done the last 2 years.
And his line mates have been good, but you could argue that, you know, Point gets time with some really good players as well, be it a bit of time with Kucherov or a power play unit that includes Stamkos and Hedman and others. But Rantanen would be the only one where
Rantanen,
it's like,
of all the guys, including Point still, has the most points in his first 3 years in the NHL.
No, Point was the only guy that scored 40 last year, I believe. Rantanen actually would have been...
He went 31 last year.
Okay, so more helpers. And again, that dynamic top line of Colorado. He also missed time last year.
Like, yeah.
Rantanen was ahead of McKinnon a lot of last season in terms of like dates on the calendar where he had more points.
Well,
that's impressive.
Look what, and this is not a knock on McKinnon at all. Because
no,
McKinnon
it's how
was,
good Rantanen is.
But,
yeah.
But look at what happened as the playoffs went. Like, Colorado almost beat San Jose and was almost in the Western Conference Final. And that Game 7 could have gone either way. San Jose ends up winning. Good on them. That was a great series. But as that postseason went along for Colorado, they shifted from McKinnon being the primary driver and the guy in the Calgary series to, near the end of the Flames series, Rantanen was just as important as McKinnon was,
and
they were playing
injury
on different lines.
He's
coming off injury
out of the regular season.
Yeah.
This is a whale of a player. I still think that Colorado is going to force them into a long-term deal here and use the leverage they have, which is, our window's not closing this year. We're not Toronto.
Tampa.
Well, Tampa's. I think Tampa's.
I don't think their
window's
closing, but they're in a much tighter cap situation.
Sure,
they needed to do.
Or you're like Winnipeg, where you're like, geez, like Buffalo might not show up. We've lost tons of guys, and now we have the cap space. Like, okay, we'll pay a little. We need you back, Pat. But I just think Colorado, they've got to pay some really, really good hockey players over the next 3-4 years. There's not a cap crunch now, but they can't be irresponsible on this deal if they want to keep it together. And I don't think short-term helps them. They don't want this deal coming up the same time as Makar, the same time as potentially Byram, the same time as potentially McKinnon. Mm-hmm. I think they want to get this done and not talk about it again for 8 years. And are they willing to push him into November to get that done? I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's like what we're seeing here in Calgary, where it's, if you start the season without Matthew Tkachuk, I think there's a lot of pressure on the front office. I don't feel like that's the case in Colorado.
Is it a standoff? Standoff's the wrong word, but is it a, okay, here's what we're offering. 8 years times, say it's 8 times 10.
Sure. Even number 80 million.
Yeah.
I don't know what take it or leave it, but like, here's what we want, and you let us know when you're ready to talk about an 8-year deal in this neighborhood. Like, it's clearly not the same situation in leverage, but Shea Theodore didn't really have interest from a lot of reports on a long-term deal with Vegas. Mm-hmm. They basically rammed it and said, here, we're doing this. What are you going to do? Like, you want to go play for 300 Swiss francs, 300,000? Go have at her. If you want to play in the league, we're locking you up long-term, and we're going to pay you a lot of money right up here in terms of like maybe more than you're worth now, and it's going to be a deal for us as time passes. Do they have the leverage to get that done with Rantanen? It's the only situation, I think, that is left remaining where the team might be able to do that.
The one thing that I keep coming back to, and this is not necessarily or not at all related to what Point signed to today, but the more I think about it, and the more I read, and the more I look at Winnipeg's situation, and the Dustin Byfuglien thing is an added element to it, I just feel like a trade involving Line A might be the best way to go. Because I don't, like, it does not seem like Line A is enamored with the organization or enamored with the city.
They're not enamored with him.
They don't love him and his limitations that we've seen through 3 years in the NHL.
AKA playing without the puck or in his own zone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just feels like maybe a trade is the best way to go. This is still, if they trade Line A and get some help on the blue line in return, this is still a playoff team and still a team that's got, you know, high-end aspirations. They're still deep enough when they sign Connor at forward. They still have got players like Wheeler and Ehlers and Connor. Like, this is a team. Scheifele's a number one center in this league. There's still a deep group at forward. This is a team, even with Byfuglien, that looks a little thin on the blue line. Without them, it's even scary.
I think they have two top four defensemen. Without
Morrissey and Byfuglien.
Without Byfuglien. Pionk could be a second pair, and maybe that's a stretch. Yeah. Like, I think Kulikov is probably a third pair at best. Bolia, same thing. And Nico and Pullman might be real good players, but
the only
not
guy
yet.
I really wonder, and I don't know if they're going to keep him or not, but that Ville Heinola, that guy
like him.
Is that guy changes the paradigm in a huge way. He was dynamite last night when the Jets took on the Flames. That guy might
change
the paradigm.
And he was drafted this past
he's a 2019 first round pick.
Wow. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Now he's an 18. He may not start there, but that's really interesting.
The other thing that changes if Bufflin comes back, doesn't come back, excuse me. And here's the great challenge with Winnipeg. You can't make these decisions knowing what Dustin Bufflin's going to do. It might be a situation where in December he calls him up and says, yeah, okay, guys, I'm ready now. They might not be able to say, okay, do we have him or not? Let's make decisions on what to do about our defense. They might not have the information. Mm-hmm. They might know as much as you and I do on the situation, which is Dustin Bufflin's mulling it over.
I think that's where they're at right now.
And if that's the case, that's really difficult because if Bufflin comes back and this young kid, the young Finn, Heinola?
Billy Heinola.
Heinola. If he pops, maybe they are okay on the back end and you're a Connor and Laine away from winning that division.
Yep.
It could really go either way.
I got to check.
That's
a
really tough spot.
I got to check with Thomas at the Saddle Dome if I'm saying it right. Thomas is one of the security guys at the Saddle Dome, and he's from Finland, and he always gives me, like, everybody was saying Heiskanen. He's like, no, Heiskanen. It's Heiskanen. I was like, okay, there's a guy from Finland, so I got to check with
by
Tom
about,
on Heinola.
I want to say playoffs. Everyone had that figured out.
It took a little while, but yeah.
We were on it pretty good, though. I feel like Lubo was on it early, yeah. And yourself. Heiskanen.
Thanks to Tom.
Also, probably going to go out on a limb. Your boy that knows Finnish would be able to recommend some good death metal.
Probably.
Like, that's the neighborhood.
Probably.
Like, if Mika Kiprasov's having a bonfire and a piece of property out there, he knows the music that's playing. That's my guess.